What does a can of corned beef or a pair of sneakers say about how much you miss someone? How can a bottle of spicy sauce help you shake off homesickness? This is Dream City, a podcast series from Feet in Two Worlds. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. For Filipino immigrants, the ritual of packing gift boxes, known in Tagalog as balakbayan, nurtures family relationships tested by time and distance. When Filipinos return to the Philippines, the commonplace items they pack as gifts symbolize to those they left behind that they have never been far from their thoughts. They're a way of sharing the simple but hard-won rewards of life in a faraway country. And when these expatriates travel back to the U.S., they'll bring with them Filipino items that might symbolize childhood and heritage, further strengthening the connection between their two homes. In this podcast, Rosalyn Tordesillas explores the meaning of balakbayan and how it's changed for Filipino immigrants today.
Our mission is to purchase some books to bring home to friends in Manila who have children aged 5 and 3.
But there's other stuff we're getting tonight, right?
Yes, more stuff. I already finished the first phase at Sephora buying cologne for my goddaughter.
I've caught my friend Anina as she dashes from one chain store to another on the Upper East Side in Manhattan. We're at Barnes & Noble now as she works down her shopping list.
You have to do all of this tonight, right?
Tonight, and I'm flying out early tomorrow morning. And this is part of the preparation for the trek home to Manila.
Is this a normal thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's standard practice for balikbayans. That's a combination of the Filipino words balik, meaning to return, and bayan, meaning country. It's what Filipinos call those who've settled abroad when they come back to the Philippines.
You know, we try and go to Manila at least once every 2 years, and every time, you know, word gets around that we're coming home, everybody who's close enough to us seems to take the opportunity to, you know, just see if they can get stuff from here that's not easily accessible to them in Manila, not readily available. So it starts with things that get ordered online and shipped to my apartment. And then there are the texts or Viber messages saying, please, can you buy me this before, if it's convenient. And then there are the last minute ones that come 2 days before you're about to leave, and you know, you just really don't have a choice.
It may seem simple enough to politely decline, but this feeling of obligation goes back to the roots of the idea of the balikbayan. In the 1970s, the Marcos dictatorship launched the balikbayan program to entice Filipino expatriates back with travel and tax incentives. Filipinos who'd found prosperity abroad would spend their money back in the Philippines, benefiting those left to live under martial law. Most balikbayans today probably don't even know how this all started. But the term still has an air of wealth from abroad, as well as the implication of something owed to those left behind. Providing personal shopping and courier service is simply expected.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me know if there's anything else I can help you with.
Sure.
On top of all of these requests she has to fill, Anina has a separate gift-giving obligation.
You know, it's always nice to bring them something. I mean, rather than buy them clothes, which they can get in Manila, I'd rather just get them books. And it's always a go-to thing, but it's also the heavier.
It's really heavy.
I know, but I don't have a choice.
Imagine holiday shopping, only it's March now, with a 20-hour journey looming. That should give you an idea of her building anxiety.
And okay, I need to buy for, you know, 20 people. I'm not very good at that.
There are two types of items on Anina's list. There are the bilins, things people have asked her to bring for them.
Great, thank you.
But there's also pasalubong, gifts Filipino travelers bring to those who await their return. These gifts, unsolicited but definitely expected, are what's really stressing her out.
And so my poor godchildren are always the ones who take a toll, because sometimes I don't get them anything. And it's hard because, you know, a lot of the kids who I'm ninang to, they don't grow up around me. I don't know them very well.
Yeah.
So it's hard to buy, right? Yeah. It's hard to buy for an 18-year-old who I don't know, you know, so well.
Yeah. Oh.
For president.
Yes, yeah. I'll show you.
Now to strategize about packing and weight limits.
So 8 books?
No, this is enough na siguro. Maybe let's see if one more and then I'll split it with Marella's suitcase and mine. This is too much. But, you know, I don't see them also. It's just so hard.
Some of the requests make no sense, But a good Balikbayan complies. You especially can't say no to your mother.
My mom needs rubber gloves. I do not understand why she cannot buy it at... Where is it going to be? Did I miss it? It's easier for her to have, you know, like maybe her helper go and buy, but no. I need to buy her rubber gloves.
Because they have to be from here.
I don't know. I really don't know. And there was one other thing that she was asking for, but I'm not going to go. I'm not even going to try and look for it anymore. It's like some kind of plastic cover for the microwave.
Like, you don't have that in Manila?
I don't know why I have to buy it. I don't even know where to look for that.
I bet they have it in Duane Reade.
Okay, let's look. And if they have it, I will buy it. And I will be so pleased if they have it, because she will be so happy.
We are off to Duane Reade with her mom's shopping list.
Magic eraser, gloves, possibly microwave cover.
Do you want extra power? Or
yes,
regular?
Extra power. I think extra power. Is this extra power?
Yes. Yes.
She's covered four stores in under an hour, and now, mission accomplished.
So, are we done?
I think we are done. What time is it?
It is
8:30. So I'm ahead. I'm 30 minutes ahead of my goal time.
So, how much time do you have for packing?
Up until we leave.
So, will she pass the Balikbayan test?
Right now, my suitcase is half other people's things.
And you have all your pasalubongs already?
Yes. Yes. Pass your paper. Time is up. Pass your paper.
Since most of the things in their bags are for other people, you'd think Balikbayans would come back to the U.S. with a lighter load. Instead, they refill their suitcases with items only found in the Philippines. For example, a broom made of native grasses or garments made with homegrown techniques. And then there's the food. The joke among Filipinos is that when they pass through customs, the officers don't even ask if they have food, but what they have.
2 days before I go back to the U.S., we would order it and freeze it.
Joy Pascua Kim told me her stories of extreme food transport.
So that when I put it in my luggage, it should still be good after the first stopover and then the U.S. So it is good.
I mean, you seriously pack a sandrival?
That's a delicate cake with several layers of buttercream and meringue that cannot survive long outside the fridge.
And we have to cut it up in four and put it in Tupperwares and wrap and really put a lot of duct tape around it, crossing your fingers that they won't confiscate it when they examine your bag or when your bags get chosen to be examined. My brother made a Bicol Express, which is pork in coconut milk. And chili, a lot of chili, cut up chili. It's a specialty of Bicol, another region in the Philippines. But the way he makes it is really spicy. And so he packed me a little bottle, and I packed it in my suitcase. And when I came back here, I did have that sticker that said it was opened. So when I looked for it, I was like, oh no, they took my Bicol Express.
They did? They confiscated it?
Yeah, they did. Because I was like, wait a minute, there's something missing. Ah, my Bicol Express is gone.
But Joy has even bigger ambitions for what to bring back.
And also, I wish I could bring back the vegan longanisa. But I know that one. The dogs will definitely be able to smell that. Vegan longanisa are these small sausage links, and they're very salty.
Wait, clarify. Vegan, not as in, you know, but
oh,
not
yes.
Meat, right?
Let's clarify that. It's all meat. Vegan is a city in Ilocos Norte. Yes.
Why go to all this trouble for food when New York already has so much to offer?
See, when you come back from the Philippines, you then get homesick. You know, there's an adjustment period again because you're like, oh my God, I'm leaving them again. So the food helps. I grew up with them, so when I eat them here in the U.S., there's that feeling of, you remember back when I was in high school, you know, this is what we used to eat. And so there's a certain connection to my past and what a good life I had, and I still have it now. It's different now.
My aunt, Margaret Gomez, moved to the U.S. with her husband 40 years ago. For my tita, the ritual of returning to the Philippines with bilins and pasalubongs has changed over the years. In the past, Filipinos receiving her gifts marveled at owning things not available in the Philippines.
They'd be like, wow, we were the only ones who have this, you know?
But since you can now get almost anything you want on the globalized market, the little gifts are more symbolic.
And maybe a little thing that might be a bridge to a long-lost or long-held memory like that. You know, like pictures that we found, for example. I think it's more a connection to who we used to be.
What they brought back from the Philippines also evolved.
When you first get to a new country, as we did, there was so much that we wanted to have with us and that was important for us to have with us.
Margaret at first brought back childhood relics, a special nightlight, her yearbooks.
I wanted a piece of that segment of my life to be with me. And then little by little, you kind of realize, maybe in retrospectively, that we have actually adapted and that those things have been replaced by other things, or the need for it has kind of like, it's not as intense. And we're filled with the memory of it, but we don't actually need to have it.
So the Balikbayan experience changes with time. Does it also get passed down to the next generation? For Christina Hoyas, a graduate student in her 20s, Balikbayan has a more complicated meaning. Christina was born in New York City to Filipino immigrants and took her first trip to the Philippines in her teens. She interned at a university there and lived with her relatives for a while. Since then, she's returned as often as possible.
They'll still consider the Philippines home. When I come back there, it's a different feeling. It's a humbling experience, one that you can only receive when you're in a specific place that makes you feel that way. Perhaps it's not something everyone can fully comprehend unless they're in the position to be from both America and the Philippines.
The Philippine government extends Balikbayan status to immediate family members of returning Filipinos, even if those family members were born elsewhere. But going back there is just different for Christina because of her dual identity.
When you're living in America, growing up as a Filipino-American, you don't feel 100% American because you come from an immigrant family. Your foundation is different. You're even juxtaposed to other immigrant families, you're different from other immigrant families. There's a part of you that embraces, I am Filipino, because that's what they're boxing you into. And then when you go back home, you're American, all of a sudden. You're completely American. You're Americanized, your accent's off, the way that you normally act, what is comfortable for you, is Americanized all of a sudden. So you're boxed into this American category, and all of a sudden you're not Filipino enough.
She tells me that she thinks of pasalubong as a way to help both sides of herself meet.
The people who are on either side, if they're in the Philippines or America, if you're making the trip, you want to be able to bring what you have to them, and vice versa, to expand the horizons of the people who are unable to do so.
When Christina goes to the Philippines, she dutifully packs Balikbayan boxes full of American goods normally out of reach of her relatives there. And when she returns stateside, she packs items that help affirm her Filipino identity, like books.
There's a lot of literature on the Philippines and experiences of the Philippines coming from Filipino voices and the diaspora that I feel are only readily available back home.
And she brings back Philippine handicrafts, which she uses to educate her U.S. friends about that big other part of herself.
When I see really nice ones, I like to give them away to my friends just to remind them what the Philippines has to offer. It's not always the preconception of what the media portrays for them, that it's this disaster land and that they have no resources or they're not using their resources efficiently.
Every object she brings back strengthens her bond to her other home. They're keys to open a portal between her two worlds, so she can feel less like a foreigner in both of them. Likewise, the things that Anina and Joy cram into their suitcases and carry back and forth from one side of the world to the other keep them linked to the Philippines, so they can be at home in both spaces. But as Tita Margaret has learned, they may one day stop needing them. Even though she's fully settled here, when I asked her if the Philippines was still home, she surprised herself.
So as you said it, I thought, no. But actually, yes. So even though I've lived here longer than I've lived in the Philippines, I still find myself saying, referring to the Philippines as home. And I realize a lot of the deeper connections are the connections with the folks who knew you growing up. And that's what I have a lot of there.
Regardless of what Balikbayans actually bring with them, she tells us what all these rituals are really about.
So for us, it means remembering and thanking. And it also means honoring, I think. But most of all, I think it means like, we thought of you, and it's kind of fun, more than anything else. It's that, it's fun, yeah. And I'm crying. Lordy.
For Feet into Worlds, this is Rosalind Tordesillas.
I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez, producer of this podcast, and our editor is Carolina Gonzalez. John Rudolph is the executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds. Special thanks to Rachel Bongiorno. The music in this episode is by Acid 42 and Ariel and Steve Combs. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Nicholas B. Ottaway Foundation, and listeners like you. Feet in Two Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at fi2w.org.